Welcome back. It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. This month, President Trump signed the Allow States and Victims to Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act, commonly known as FOSTA. It's designed to crack down on sex trafficking of minors. The bill got overwhelming support in Congress. Here's Missouri Republican Congresswoman Ann Wagner, who sponsored it.
If activity is illegal and criminal offline, it should be criminal and illegal online. And Backpage and hundreds of other websites were hiding behind the immunity clauses right. in the Communications Decency Act, and we're getting off scot-free. They were selling our women and our children.
Now, FOSTA is supposed to crack down on online sex trafficking by making internet companies responsible for illegal content. But while the intent is admirable, some sex workers and their advocates say it punishes them in the process.
The internet has been one of the main tools that law enforcement has used to find trafficked people and to prosecute them. So it's a positive for law enforcement in terms of real trafficking cases. And by trafficking, I mean people who are forced to work under force, fraud, or coercion, which is very different from people who choose sex work and who do it of their own free will.
That is Crystal DuBois, co-executive director of the SOAR Institute, an advocacy group for sex workers and survivors of human trafficking. She says the problem with FOSTA is that it drives sex work underground, making it far more dangerous. Well, I sat down with Crystal and also with Kyan Dorishow, the founder of GLITS, that's Gays and Lesbians Living in a Transgender Society. Kyan works with sex workers, and she's a trans woman and a former sex worker herself. And Kyan says FOSTA is especially dangerous for trans women. But as Crystal explains, the internet made voluntary sex work safer.
When sex work moved onto the internet, it actually created a lot of safety mechanisms. For instance, homicides went down by 17%, and this is often allocated to the move of sex work off the streets and onto the internet. The internet allows sex workers to screen people before they meet them. It allows a digital trail of a date so that they can be identified if there was a bad date or a violent client. And it allows the coworkers of sex workers to know where a person is, to be in communication with the person, to know how long they're expected to be gone. So there are a lot of ways that the internet has made sex work safer.
Kyan Dorishow, you're an advocate for sex workers now. Does what Crystal is saying make sense to you? Did the internet allow sex work to be safer for people who you know and who you represent?
Because of the internet, my clients literally got to not only have security, but have a base where they were protected by how they screened opposed to street work. I can't tell you how many hotels and alleys and death scenes I was called in on because there wasn't anything to protect us. The internet kind of opened up a passage to being able to have control over what you're doing for survival.
Kyan, we've heard news recently that the personal section of Craigslist has been shut down. Famously now, Backpage.com shut down. What if people said to you, the people who you represent, who you advocate for, what have they said about the effect on their work and their lives now that this bill is on the books?
I've had the misfortune to just put a girl into psychiatric care. I've had sheer panic. I've had at least 20 or 30 people tell me that they're about to be evicted. I am blessed to have the life that I have, but not every trans woman has the life that I have because corporate America is not going to hire us. So how could you take away something that actually kept people off the street, that actually gave somebody a home? We're hearing these large numbers of trafficking has nothing to do with probably sex workers at all.
That Todd, can I just jump in and mention that there's a lot of discussion around this act in terms of human trafficking. And if we want to fight human trafficking, we have to fight the underlying conditions of human trafficking. And when that's international trafficking, it can be LGBT people fleeing their home country because their identity is criminalized there, arriving into the United States without work documents or the availability to work could mean being vulnerable to trafficking. What we see are teenagers who are kicked out of their house for being gay or for other reasons and then become vulnerable to traffickers to survive. And so if we want to talk about human trafficking in a real way, it's not by passing acts that further criminalize people and make websites that are helping people shut down and self-censor. It's by creating conditions in which people can thrive. There are a lot of underlying conditions that we can look at if we want to fight trafficking, but this act doesn't do that.
So, Cayenne, I want you to imagine if FOSTA had been passed during that time when you were doing sex work and I assume advertising on the internet, maybe a different internet than we have today, different websites and everything else. But if that law had passed and you weren't able to do any of your advertising or your tracking on the internet, what would that have done to your life or to the safety that you could enjoy at least while doing sex work?
If it would have happened at that time, you would have annihilated the whole trans community. Because at this present day, there is a trans woman dying around the world every day that's not even related to sex work. So you put trans women back in the street. Imagine if this happened back then, imagine how you could literally take out a whole nation of people.
Crystal, when this bill was being debated and ultimately passed, I saw an awful lot of argument, debate between tech companies about a free internet, about free speech, and everything else sort of at the corporate level. I confess I didn't see a whole lot of debate or discussion along the lines of what you and Cayenne are advocating for here. I didn't hear anyone in Washington, or at least not very many people, talking about whether driving this type of advertisement, whether this type of work further underground was really a good idea for people.
Politicians very much want to appear as though they are fighting human trafficking, even though they aren't invested in pragmatic solutions to human trafficking. So it doesn't surprise me at all that politicians didn't debate at the granular level that they would debate other things. It does surprise me that the tech industry ended up not fighting this bill as hard as they should have, because it will fundamentally change the way the internet functions. It is the first step of
censorship.
The first step of censorship, the first step of taking apart some internet freedoms. And it's you know, not surprising to me that human trafficking was the Trojan horse used to do that. I think that we're going to see ripple effects for a long time and that slowly it will hit us.
Crystal DeBois is co-executive director of the Sharmus Outlaw Advocacy and Rights Group. Crystal, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And Cayenne Dorsho, thanks to you as well. Cayenne is founder of GLITS, Gays and Lesbians Living in Transgendered Society. Thank you so much, Cayenne.
Thank you. Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.